Okay, welcome back today, guys. Super excited today to have a friend of mine, Tom Shea, on the podcast today. And obviously, as I mentioned, I consider him a friend, a mentor too, because I've learned so much from him in the work we've been able to do together. So, if you guys, I'm going to let Tom tell his story rather than me try to tell his story. But Tom, Navy SEAL, 23 years in service, so we thank you for your service and all you've done, not just in service, but since then, as you continue to lead and so forth. I read his first book, I think I read it twice and listened to it on Audible twice.
It's because you don't pick up things quickly.
I will admit that, I am a little slow.
And then somebody else read it to me the third time.
But his first book was Unbreakable. And now he also has come out with his, the second book.
Second, yeah.
Was that the official?
No, I was going to, so it's called Three Simple Things Leading During Chaos. I was going to put it out April, so it was going to be out August. And then the turn happened. I'm like, I got to put it out now. Just because of the title.
You know?
And
yes.
So I was going to push it out on the 24th. But we couldn't get enough books printed to meet the demand during the pre-launch. So I pushed it out to Memorial Day, so it's going to be available for actual in-hands reading Memorial Day. But the e-book is up now because I couldn't control that being turned off.
So it was interesting because I ordered it because I thought at one time it was like on the 28th or something.
So I tried
to order it. I'm like, why is Amazon making me wait until... book, and that's what that'd be like. Cool. So a little background too on our work together, and then I want to kind of get into asking Tom some questions. So I think I originally met Tom, his daughter Autumn was training with us over the summer. She was she was playing lacrosse, but also getting ready to go to West Point or trying to get ready for that.
Yep.
And then I, of course, I think I'd heard of Tom's book, but, didn't really make the connection that he was actually here in Greenville. And then, got his book, read it. I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then I think we met in here once, and then I went and heard you speak, I think at the Poinsett Club. And then we started talking from there. And then actually one of the lessons basically in your first book, part of it was doing this 24-hour walk, and we were fortunate to do that together. I don't know, fortunate at the time
was
what I was thinking.
I think you guys were the first crew.
Oh, really?
I'd done it with a business once.
Okay.
So, I think the timing of it, how you spoke, was like we just met yesterday. So this is about 6 years.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
And and Autumn is graduating this year.
Wow.
So she took everything that you guys taught her and was number one lacrosse player in the state, goes to West Point, decides not to play lacrosse because she's like, I hate everybody here and I don't want to play with them and the coach sucks. So then she was on the crew team. Crew is hard. And I'd been talking to her that whole 4 years about, being an athlete the whole time. Like, you can't just go be a student. And she never rode ever. So her first trial was to try out for the team. And there was one slot available. And she'd never rode before. And she got the top slot. She's got the fastest erg there.
Wow.
And she'd never done it before. And all that stuff that you'd been teaching her and I'd been teaching her over the years, go until you pass out and go again. and then she was on the crew team for 2.5 years. And then she's like, Dad, I want to run. I'm like, what do you mean you want to run? I want to be on the marathon team. How do you go from lacrosse to crew to marathon? So she makes it onto the marathon team. And her first marathon, she made All-American. Like, what? And she didn't tell us for 2 weeks. We saw it on like a Facebook post. Like, is that Autumn? And call her up. She's like, no, Dad, it was 2 weeks ago. It's not a big deal. I mean, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
And she still says, well, it's not really, it was just a cursory thing because you make the time. And like, oh my gosh. So, and then, when we were talking about you mentioned the 24-hour, I thought it's. I think it's one of the most important lessons that any human learns, is that you can actually do a lot in a day. And nobody spent. Most people don't spend their day other than 2 hours of activity. They come to a gym like yours, or they get up and, or they count all their steps, which is only like 2 hours of steps. What can you do in 24 hours? And it's a big eye-opening experience. Physically, you can probably go for days. And yours was the first crew that we put together, other than a private, like five people doing it. And watching that first experience, I didn't know if it was going to be valuable. I thought it was valuable. And watching your crew go through that, I'm like, man, I actually get more from watching other people learn how to struggle with their, I call it internal dialogue, mm-hmm. or other people mm-hmm. would call it the demons. And those demons run the show, man. And I've now done 28 of them.
Wow.
And people came from, are now coming from South Africa and Europe, and just coming to learn what is inside of them that they've never been taught. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably stop there. But, and that was all because of what you guys allowed that first. You, I guess, read the book, and you're like, hey, yeah. can you come in and show us that? And yeah. remember the workout sessions?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Simple but not easy yeah. workout, yeah. 15-minute you know, leg lifts.
Yep. Yep.
You can do a lot if you internally understand you don't actually have to push to be a great athlete. Do simple things more than anybody else, which I wish every athlete would learn. Mm-hmm. Not only athletically, but, gosh, yep. do simple things at home, too.
Yep.
And don't make those complex, yep. you know.
Well, that's been one of the things I think I really, you know, like I said, every time I've ever had a chance to spend some time with you, you know, I've always learned something, you know, because I'm always, you know, I like to think I'm always trying to learn. And and one of the things is that, and of course, I love you, the idea of the three simple things, mm-hmm. because sometimes when I've spent time talking to you, and even like Ryan Miller and I, you know, have been working together, and some of the stuff you've been working with him, he's trying to help me. And some of the things that we've even talked about before is the, when you really take those simple things, they're, again, that term you use, they're simple but not easy, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, and sometimes just focusing on that rather than trying to make it too complex. Like the other incredible lesson is that honor your work, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the same to me. That's, if you just say that to somebody, you know, you should honor your word. Oh, yeah, I should honor my mm-hmm. word. But when you really think about that, that's life-changing. It was for me, you know. And I thought, like, even in our, we created this thing several years ago. Gosh, it's probably been, you know, close to 10 years ago. We kind of, I think it really stimulated when I was working with Mark Devine some, you know, mm-hmm. another Navy mm-hmm. SEAL. So, you know, having an ethos, having a stand or whatever. So we kind of created what we call it this, the alliance code, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Just different virtues. So the first one on there is honesty. So, like, being honest with yourself. But that, to me, that just that whole idea of honoring your word, the way you present it, was an eye-opener. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not, you know, it doesn't seem very complicated, but...
It doesn't seem so complicated. Man, people have a hard time with it, to the point where you probably don't need to teach them other things. You need to teach them that first.
Yep.
Like, I want to show up and work out 7 days a week. See how many people can do that. Even if it's just, I'm going to come to your gym and drink water out of your fountain 7 days a week, people will unravel that to the point where they don't even do that simple level of, you know, commitment. And I didn't anticipate finding that in, upon retirement, that what's really going on is people aren't making things really but simple. And say what you're going to do and then go do it. And don't make that complex. It's going to be hard enough as it is, you know. And then as we became friends, that 12-hour jiu-jitsu yep. day yep. of hell, yep. oh my gosh. Yep. Yep. That was even hard to watch. And I was just facilitating it for y'all. But what I know to be true, and I hope that y'all could see it, is you actually get better because you weren't efficient in the beginning. As you start getting tired
yep.
and you start getting, you know, you go overcome that, I'm down on myself. Gosh, who's your top guy?
Hoffa.
He was better at the end because there was no, I don't have time to play around. I'm like, wow, and now he's lethal right there in the last hour.
Yep.
And that was interesting to watch because the brain doesn't conceptualize that I can't really do anything for 12 hours straight at this level of intensity. Yeah, I can. It's just all the other stuff that you were doing was at 10% intensity anyway. Even though your heart rate's high, your brain's not connected to it, your technique's not connected to it, you're just rolling around and sweating.
Yep.
And then watching everybody, I thought they got better and better. Now we're 400 pull-ups into it, and they were better on the mat. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Their technique got better because they weren't diminished, holistically, if you will.
Yep.
But I as a trainer got more out of that. Well, that was a big eye-opening experience to watch
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, I remember getting, because we kind of sat down before that and just, learned a lot from that. But one of the interesting things I learned too is because we kind of, I guess, collaborate a little bit on planning out that 12 hours. And I remember, this was not something I would have had in there because I really hate it, but bear crawls. Mm-hmm. And I remember, we were going to do bear crawls, and my envision that, I don't even know how it came to be, but we were going to come out of we were starting here, and we were going to go out the building, and we were going to go around the parking lot and all this. And I remember, Wednesday or Thursday that week, I just found myself, I was short with people, and I was getting grumpy. And I'm like, you know what? It's my anticipation of what's coming. And then when we actually did it, we didn't really go that far with the bear crawl. And I built all that up in my mind, that piece of it.
Yeah, yeah.
The other part was hard, don't get me wrong, but it was funny, part I knew that was coming that I just dreaded was that piece, right? And when we actually did it, it wasn't that bad. And so it makes you realize fear is, or whatever you want to call it, is a lot of times it's just stuff we build up that's not really as bad as we make it. And if you just focus on what's in front of you versus dreading.
About how people do that in the athletic space.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they're old, hurt, overweight, too skinny. Gosh, if I go to a gym, I'm going to stand out. God, I don't want to do that. And that anticipation is another one of those things that it's a demon.
Yep.
They're not honoring their word to themselves. And they're having what I call the thousand excuses why people fail. And that is that's how I describe it. So honor your word really means stop honoring your excuses. Because there's going to be 1,000 reasons not to do something. Too tired, too old, this, that, the other. And people never learn to get rid of their excuses. And, the 24 hour, you hear your excuses for 23 hours, and in the last hour, you're like, I don't care anymore. My feet are bleeding, I have diarrhea, I'm just going to make it the last hour. That last hour is the most important because you stop paying attention to the demons in your head and you're just going to make it to the end. It's a simple but not easy trait to acquire. And I actually wish more athletes or the people that want to come to a gym or to work out or be healthy realize that the anticipation of it is stopping them from being really healthy. I can't work out 3 days a week. I can't do that. It's going to hurt. So I don't even start.
Yep.
Good athletes, how many days a week do they work out? Eight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't take days off.
Right.
And so because they're committed, they're like, this is who I am conversation. I'm going to be fit at a level that I want to be fit. That's all those excuses prevent that from happening.
Right.
Which is horrible.
Yep.
Horrible.
Yep. Cool. So, for those that don't know, the background of them we just talked about, can you give obviously we could talk the whole time about your story, but a little bit how you transitioned, because I've heard you talk about this before, really from being, over 20 years as a SEAL into civilian life, and then now what kind of more about what you're doing. I mean, obviously the book, and I want to talk about that more, but kind of what you're doing now and how you're leading in that, and now in the civilian world.
Well, I retired 6 years ago, and I'd been in the SEAL teams for 23. And I think retirement, actually, I know retirement sucked. I didn't know who I was anymore, if I fit in anymore. Did I want to get into this aspect of business? Because SEALs don't know where money comes from. I'm like, gosh, I don't know. Do I want to go get a master's in business just to take 2 years and then reset again after 2 years? And that transition phase was brutal. And had I not had friends like you or mentors that are like, hey, listen, let's meet once a week and let's talk about what's really going on. And what I found during those mentorships was people asking me, so what did you learn in the SEAL teams? And I was trying to phrase, because how do I tell you what I learned in the SEAL teams? I learned how to kill. I don't know if that makes any difference to you. And then what I figured out that was actually important to be able to share was the bottom produces more successful people than the top. Like, success doesn't perpetuate success. Mm-hmm. Failure causes you to get back up. And I was like, well, gosh, I've failed more than anybody I ever have met ever. Like, I don't do anything well the first time, actually the first 20. And what I was beginning to see is most people don't allow themselves to do 20 times. So I started then just telling stories of how many times I've started over and crawled back to the surface and then done, from other people's point of view, well. And, it took me 5 times to get through Hell Week. They don't let anybody do that anymore because it's damaging to your soul, which I agree with. And then I'd, struggled through combat, seeing people die, being thoroughly exhausted, and then having to start again the next day and the next day. And I've kind of put that into a program. Like, I'm only interested in people that are willing to start over. Like, I'm not interested in change. Don't keep changing the model that's screwed up. Clean slate everything. Learn what the base of everything is, which I think is honor your word and don't give up. Learn those two skills. Because if you can say what you're going to do and go do it and then not quit in the process, imagine what people would do. Well, you've been hurt more than any man I know, and you keep doing it, so you figured it out, But people don't learn that that's the base of all success. And then I give them a process. So I developed a process how to teach that. And so during retirement, I stumble. I'm like, well, I know how to stumble. It doesn't bother me to clean slate things and start over and then learn and acquire. And during that whole process, I started doing a lot of speaking across the country, which was scary. I don't know why it was scary. It's like, man, I don't want to travel. I don't want to talk in front of civilians. That's how my brain was at the time. Mm-hmm. And I started finding ways to connect with other human beings that I would never have met before. And I found out that they were the same dumbass that I was, struggling with, God, what do I do with my life and how do I start over? So I'm just going to commit to, I'm going to teach people how to clean slate and start over. And now I've put 185 people through, which I hate it. It's a year-long training. Mm-hmm. And it was successful. Now I'm going to do it in seminars.
Okay.
Because I could never figure out how to solve getting 50 people in a room. So I'm like, you know what? I've already solved this problem. I'm going to go solve this other problem called multiple people in a room going through a very intensive training all at the same time. And we've held one of them, so it was a 3-day weekend event and was actually more successful than me doing it one-on-one. Because now everybody can interact, vice me trying to draw out all the information. Like, the group interacts really well. And now there's a whole other tunnel that I have to dig and see the light at the end before I could see it. And so the turn down didn't mean a damn thing. It's just another clean slate for me. I have to start over, figure out where I want to go and how many people want to commit. And that's one of the miracles of starting over, is it doesn't matter what happens. You can start over. which I wish people would learn athletically. It doesn't matter. Start over. Yeah. Start where you are and start moving.
Yep. Yep. I know you're, I've seen this in some of the things and talked about a little bit with you, like the whole idea of action too, is like, you just gotta, and same thing with the 24-hour walk, right? Yeah. You just gotta, the next step. And, you know, I had, Edmund Wu on yesterday. I think
his daughter,
met Edmund's daughter. Yeah, yeah, did a 24-hour walk with us. And, you know, I learned that from him too, is like, just keep moving. You know, and I found myself doing that sometimes, is just like almost overanalyzing. You gotta reflect, but and learn, but at the same time, like, you let that sometimes stop you from taking action.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I, you know, again, appreciate about, you know, I've seen, you know, just boom, keep going,
dude. So that was the genesis of Three Simple Things. What I wanted to, so I spent 5 years developing what I call The Secret, and it worked. I'm like, I'm never going to teach anybody all the secrets. And a couple of my SEAL buddies, I found out, committed suicide. So a bunch of us were getting on the phone talking to each other, like, dude, I didn't know everybody's in a crisis, because I kind of left the community and didn't keep that level of connectivity. And then every once in a while I'll check in, I'm like, what do you mean he committed suicide? Why would a SEAL quit? Like, I didn't get it. And so we're all talking on a big Zoom call, and one of my buddies asked me, what would happen if you died? And the light bulb went on. I'm like, all this stuff that I've developed would be gone in 5 seconds. He goes, why don't you just put it in a book, because you've already written one, and pass it on? Which was my idea of Unbreakable, was to pass on valuable lessons to my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, but I'm going to tell everybody the secret. He goes, if you're going to die, it's going to be gone and remain a secret. So I'm like, hell, I'm just going to put it all down on paper, actually how to do this process. And which ends up in answering the doing things. And I boiled it down to 3 simple activities a day in 5 areas, which seems complicated. Athletically, if you can work out for an hour, doesn't matter the intensity. But, you know, if you're a jiu-jitsu practitioner, practice for an hour every day. There's no days off. You can actually take a day off, but you have to intentionally take it off. It's like, okay, this is my rest day. So 1 hour workout, 20 minutes of stretching, and then 10 drinks of water a day. That simple, you will be one of the best athletes in any gym, anywhere. And nobody does it. Nobody can handle 3 simple things, and they're not difficult. So that's what I put all my clients through. Through all this training, we're going to develop 3 simple things in 5 categories. I've taken guys from never running to ultra marathon running by just having that baseline. Because if you run, no matter how fast you run, maybe 4 miles a day, times 7, that's a 28-mile week. After 2 months of doing that, you're actually a really competent runner. Like, if you came into the gym and did an hour workout every single day, after 2 months, I bet you could guarantee that dude or woman would be a whole different human being athletically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's simple. It's not complex. I didn't say you have to do a HIIT workout. You had to do bench or just move for an hour. And that's simple. I was like, oh my gosh, it can't be that simple. But you have to overcome the demons to do it. So I found that the things that are the simpler things, people drop quicker. People don't stretch.
Yep.
Which is catastrophic over time.
Yep.
And they don't stay hydrated, which kills your workout. So then I said, wow, that was cool in the athletic space. So what about the wealth space? And I boiled that down to 3 simple things. 1 hour a day, 7 days a week, finding we're trying to fight to get in front of one new client. Spend an hour doing that. And then 1 hour, what I call defensive, talk to existing clients. Like they come to the gym. So that would be your defensive thing. And then 1 hour thinking, where is this all going to take me in 3 years? Is this the right direction? Do I need to add, subtract, take away? So thinking strategically for an hour, thinking defensively for an hour, and thinking offensively for an hour. Every day, forever. You can't turn it off. Teaching businesses to do that doubles their income. Because what they never want to do is prospect. They don't prospect, they just turn that off. And they don't want to consider how everything's working out. So they just grind. They grind in the current business without changing it, without adding anything to it. And they and so they never foresee these downturns. And all of a sudden they get up to the cliff, oh man, the economy just stopped. There's a lot of people in the business space saw this happening in October. And they moved away to a different space. And then so because they were doing simple things. Nobody would think a 3-hour workday was that effective, but it literally doubles the income of the business.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, it just can't be that simple. And then the one thing that was most profound, both in the writing of the three simple things, but in training clients, is the three simple things in relationship overplay all everything else. 10 minutes a day listening to your spouse. That's the first thing you can do. You can't speak first. Listen, I'm going to listen to my spouse. Then I'm going to speak for 10 minutes. And then you have to have at least 10 minutes of intimacy every day. I couldn't get a freaking CEO to do it. And so part of that training was you got to be able to do those three simple things for 21 days straight. Because I don't know if you've ever seen that 21-day cycle. So anytime somebody has to learn something new, you actually have to make them do it for 21 days. Mm-hmm. And I'd learned that from some other wizard other than me. I wouldn't have come up with that myself. And so to get a CEO through 21 days straight, not 20, not 10, okay, I get it now, whole 21 days, took 3 months. I'm like, dude, you can virtually do it too. Write her a text. Listen to what she says, or he, or whoever, and then have intimacy. Gosh, it's 30 minutes. It's not that tough. And you can do it virtually. Doesn't matter. Because, you know, there's virtual intimacy. The porn industry's already figured that out. So, and I was like, okay, this can't be that difficult. So as they were struggling with that, I saw that their business is depleting at the same time. And their health is depleting at the same time. But I didn't know there was a correlate. The moment they figured it out, their health went up and their business went up. But the demons prevented them from doing those three simple things in relationship. Like, I know her. Really, you know your wife? Ask her this question. What her physical goals are. She didn't have any. What is she interested in learning? I don't care what she's interested in learning. She does her thing, I do my thing. So you can't listen. So let me ask her about you. Doesn't know anything about you. Oh, so you know each other, but if you ask them separately, nobody they couldn't answer the question. I'm like, well, I just answer those questions. And when was the last time you had intimacy with your wife, other than the cursory, you know, hoo-ha that adults do? Probably once a week, maybe once a month. The older the relationship, the longer the period of time. So you don't touch her on a daily basis? No. Just start it right now. When they get to that point where they've done it for 21 days, it's ominous, the amount of momentum that they have. I should just be a relationship coach. Because that was the underpinning of why most businesses fall apart, is because the bosses don't have relationship at home. Coming out of the SEAL teams, I would not have thought that would be the case. And it's profound when that happens. So I'm like, I'm just going to write that into a book. I don't know if it reads well, but I tried. I know it took forever to edit it. But that's really what the book's about, is solving the three simple things in human life. And gosh, they're simple. Like, I can listen for 10 minutes. I don't know what the hell you just said, but I'll at least listen. And then I could say something for 10. People can't do it. And nobody wants to have intimacy, especially during this stupid isolation phase of our, like, our world's existence. Intimacy is the first thing that's dropped. Nobody, now everybody's afraid to touch each other.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. I know I rambled there, sorry.
No, that was great. That was awesome. I'm looking forward, you know, the book, you said now the book is coming.
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. So I've already ordered mine, so I'm looking forward to
yeah, I ordered mine too, because I don't have my own book yet.
So awesome, awesome. So, and you mentioned, so tell me a little, I'm curious, and this is kind of more for, well, hopefully, you know, obviously the audience too, but for me, tell me a little bit more about your, because I know a little bit about your training, like your, the individual training you're doing, but with the seminar, how are you approaching that?
I joined with two other gentlemen, Joseph Caldwell and Tyler Harris.
Okay.
To create like a funnel. And honestly, this would like let's look at it like it's a funnel. And the things that are really important to me, Tyler has other levels of importance, like his, you know, interest levels in other areas. But he really is committed to making a difference in other people's lives. But he sees things differently than I do. Thank freaking God. You know what I mean? I really have a true enjoyment and passion for interacting with people on that, on those five areas. So their health, their ability to learn, their ability to grow a business, their relationships, and their spiritual growth. So those five areas. So that to me is the bottom of the funnel. Not a lot of people can access that because of the level of commitment and price point. Just looking at it like a business model. Tyler loves the social media space, and he loves the interaction through that medium, and he's going to champion that top space. So that is going to be Tyler, Joe, and I 1 hour a week coaching people in those five areas on an online format. And so the next level down is to get into the seminar. So there's two weekend seminars, that's the whole program. And the seminar is divided up into really 2 days. You arrive on a Friday, you leave on a Sunday or Monday. But the Saturday and Sunday crux of it is to put everybody that's committed to coming through a rather intensive program to unravel their shit. That's how I have to say it that way. And then the second weekend is how to build a team. So individual growth on weekend one and team growth, literally how to build a company or a team around a committed objective. And then getting a group of graduates together to help mentor themselves in that continuity, because the worst thing you can do is learn something. Like, you can teach me jiu-jitsu and then I'm never around anybody else who fights. I get worse. Mm-hmm. So all the graduates have wanted to get together, and I've just been the dumbass in the room that never facilitated everybody getting together. And so that's really the top of the pipeline, is a big social media space where we're coaching people in those five areas on a weekly basis, and then offering a training program for the people that want to take it to the next level, and then offering a community of like-minded people that want to keep the momentum and sustain it, and it already working.
Awesome.
But I had to be the dumbass and step out of the way. I was the one holding all the progress back, because I had my limited vantage point, called it has to be my way. And like, you know, your way's stupid, so we're going to do it. I'm like, okay, well, if you can do it that way, that's fine too. And I really had to let go of my ego to have a seminar. And then teach somebody else to run the seminar. It was me dropping my ego. And once I did that, actually, the relationships at home worked out a lot better too. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome.
So, and that's called Unbreakable Leadership.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And so how do people, if they want to find out more, where would they go to find out more about that, or, you know, or your book or anything? Yep. Anything about you?
Well, so we do a weekly Unbreakable podcast, and that's either with Joe and I or Tyler and I or me ranting or something. And the next way to contact us or watch what we're doing or come and participate is unbreakableleadership.com that just actually got pushed out tomorrow or yesterday. And or on Facebook under Unbreakable or Tom Shea. And the book is everywhere. You can order it now, but it will be out and ready to read on Memorial Day through all the platforms like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all those shenanigans.
Okay, awesome. Well, I appreciate you being here today. Sure. It was an honor, and I look forward to working with you more in the future.
I'm sorry, I haven't been around, dude. You've been busy.
And again, appreciate you being here. It's a great honor. And again, I know your book's going to do great. I can't wait to read it myself. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you all.